This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Open for Business. We train narrow AIs to understand parts of Melayu. That was the opening statement in their presentation deck to me. And what does this mean for business and untapped opportunities? I'm here with Khalil Nu, the man behind the business. Good morning, Khalil.
Good morning, Frida.
Okay, I love that. I hear your kid in the background. I think it makes it very real. But anyway, let's start with the problem in the first place, right? Why did you set this up? And I'm sure it's to solve a problem.
Yeah, definitely. So I'll give two answers. One is the typical business answer. Okay, so for that, we are under the AI umbrella called natural language processing. And primarily what natural language does is to help process or make sense of unstructured data or body of text. So this will help a lot with social media data, a body of text like a lengthy paragraph, and to help fit into any analytical system, especially a business intelligence system. So that's the business problem. So if another problem set, that is how do you process your customer conversation faster instead of using humans? We use natural language processing to automate those processes. To help you get any insights that you wish for your business.
Right.
So that's the typical business answer. Okay? But for me, for the personal side, it was an opportunity given to me to become the CEO of this company. Before we incorporated Mesorotica, this AI engine for Bahasa Melayu is already an open source project from my CTO.
Right.
So he built this engine during his stint with a political party to do social listening. So that was the reason he built the engine, because there was no available engine at that time for Bahasa Melayu, only for Bahasa Indonesia. So he retrofitted for Bahasa Melayu purposes. So that was like during the last general election. So my job is to monetize and make the business out of this technology. And
The
tough question for me is, the technology is already open source. So how do I monetize that? So it has been a question for me for all this for these past 2 years.
So it's also now, I guess, now to find out like customer sentiment.
Exactly. Correct.
Right? So then you get a real understanding of how the customers feel. Because I think, yes, the elections, you know, you could pick sentiments from what was happening.
Yeah.
So this is very interesting. So Mesolitica, what does that mean?
Okay. So as I mentioned, the reason why we started, it started from the work that we did previously, my CTO did. So it's a short form of, or it's an acronym of Media Social Analytica. So while I was doing my research, I stumbled upon Cambridge Analytica and Scandal, right?
Right.
So I just pick up the Analytica from there, just smash it. It just so happened that Mesolitica is also referred to an old-time, so nothing to do with that.
Right. And also, you know, it sounds like a heavy metal band.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, what I was reading on your website, right? R&D was invested to maintain state-of-the-art status for their natural language processing models, in this case, NLP models, and added more capabilities towards the Malaya engine, including speech-to-text, text-to-speech, and machine translation. So as of August 2020, Malaya, which means Mesolitica's NLP engine, has been trained on about 20 billion words. So when you say 20 billion words, what is that in the Malay language? I didn't realize that those many words.
So how we calculate that is every single words that passes through our algorithms for training, it will be counted. So this includes formal, Bahasa Pasar, your WeChat, your short forms, any words that is used in social media, we pick it up and then we train it for our engine to understand. So we have to train as much as data as possible, so that when we do the inference for our customers, okay, we already have that word in our AI brain, so to speak.
Okay, so then you know you get words like champo, what does it mean? And then of course the even the words are used in different states in Malaysia.
Okay. The dialect, not yet. But eventually, when there's a business use case and enough size of data set for us to train, we are ready to do that. But it has to make business sense, lah, Frida. No point using our processing power kan untuk to train this. Yeah.
Right. But okay. So it's so interesting. Go on.
So following on to that is when you mentioned the missing videos, right? So and then state of the art. This is one important. During the first 2 years, we were always chasing this so-called state of the art state. It means saying that we have the latest algorithms when it comes to natural processing. Okay. So for the past, I think 2 years. Actively, a lot of R&D from the states, especially from the big guys like Google, Amazon, Microsoft, they always do the research, they spend the money, and then they open source the paper, right? So from there, our task in Mesoretica, especially my CTO, is to bahasa Melayukan the algorithm. So we have been doing this for the past 2 years, right? And using help from Google, we are able to do this at a faster rate because of the access we get under their program. So for us for now, the benchmark for us that whenever there's a new algorithm that comes out from the States or from Europe, it's about 6 months, depending on the size of the data that we have, to buy someone who can this algorithm. So for last year, for example, it's all about the speech to text and text to speech, text generation, which is the trend and hype was about this OpenAI GPT-3 model where you just feed the question, this AI, this engine will understand and spew sense, not nonsense anymore.
Right. Okay. Now, you launched the SaaS platform for SME customer experience with the following main features: Customer Happiness Index and Writer's Toolkit. So what do these solutions do and who would be your customers?
Okay. Thank you for bringing up that question. So the what I call the CHI, Customer Happiness Index platform, it's targeted for SMEs. And this was a experiment that I did during our participation in Cradle's CGP program that we will be graduating next week. So it was a challenge for me to come up with a new product since we are in this coaching program. Yeah. So to see what new products that we can do for a new customer segment. So before this, our social listening is tailored for politics, or politically exposed person and whatnot, right? So how do I apply this to the business? So one way is to look into enterprises. But as a startup company, we don't have access to these big companies yet. So let's target the SMEs first, an affordable solution. So for Customer Happiness Index, it's really about doing social sentiment against your social data in your various social media to understand what your customers are saying and, you know, maybe to be proactive in the issues that might crop up, right? Before it blows up, you have an early warning system to say, oh, this so-and-so in this post says this and the sentiment is super negative. Okay, you better reply to that. So that's the understanding, right? So how do we boil that down to numbers is we come up with the index, what you say, Customer Happiness Index. So on a daily basis or on a weekly basis, anybody in an organization can just see this number and see the time series analysis to say, how are we faring from today and last week? If the index goes down, that means a lot of negative chatter. If it goes up, then you have good conversations happening for your company online. So that's the basic thesis of it.
All right. Okay. So I can see bigger customers using your service, but you were saying that you would also ideally be for SMEs, right?
For this product, the target was SME. Since we haven't launched it because of various technical hurdles,
right?
And before we're getting our GRC client, so the focus was there. Now because the GRC client is already on board and we are servicing this client, so more or less, it's not to say we stopped that development. It's just that we slowed down that development. So we haven't launched it yet. Another portion of that, you were saying that the Writer's Toolkit, right? So the Writer's Toolkit is really about helping these companies, SMEs, to do content marketing. So typically, hire a copywriter in-house or external, they say that, okay, every month I want 4 articles from you. So instead of using just copywriters, with our toolkit, these copywriters can increase their productivity by 10x minimum, because you use our engine, the Writer Toolkit, to generate first draft articles. Let's say you put your points, you say, I want like 500 words article, then press the button, and then first draft is up. Of course, first draft. So you need to have the human to do the QA and to do press, tata bahasa and all that. Yeah. So that was the idea, using our last year's algorithm called T5. This is from Google. So it helps to generate articles out of short sentences. So you provide your 5 points or your articles. I say, I want 500. Within like less than 5 seconds, we have the first draft.
Right. So they're using the right words.
Yes, the keywords, the important points that you want in the article. Yes, correct.
Okay. So this is the plan. And right now, so the human still has to come in to vet through to make sure everything's okay. So, okay.
The good point you bring it up, because the hype is people think that AI comes here to replace everybody. No, at this juncture, the AI is not smart enough to replace humans lah, as far as jobs.
One day,
but not now. So now, all AI practitioners, what they're doing is they're using AI to enhance the working experience, to give value to workers that, instead of doing repetitive jobs, these repetitive jobs are done by the AI.
All right. So okay, when you do this, and it's for Bahasa Melayu, right? Is then your business just very Malaysia?
Ah, okay. Good. That is all. When talking to investor, that would be the hardest answer. Okay. How do I? Because the only way you want to get funds for especially for VC is, what's your original plan? Do you have a original plan? So I will say this, right? Why we don't actively go out from Malaysia? We over the past 2 years, we've been receiving a lot of inquiries outside. That means to help them with their languages, especially for example, in Singapore for Singlish and Tagalog in Cambodia. So of course we are able to do it technically, but whether or not does it make business sense, and are we able to give value for our partners? So in order to be effective in a new country, because effectively, when we go to a new territory, we're starting from scratch. Because unless there is a baseline that we can follow on, then that's a different story. But if, let's say, Cambodia, right? So not only is not romanized, there is a special script, the characters. We have to make sure that we have access to the largest data sets possible for us to start training in their language to make any business value sense. So if there is a partner that can provide that, then we are willing to go out. But for now, we stick to Malaysia, because NLP market is not mature yet. And we are, why Masurika is still alive, because we are filling a gap in the market, because the big boys, there is no production level, commercial level NLP for any enterprise in Malaysia for that matter, because the big boys, they're not, but it doesn't make business sense for them to do commercial yet in Bahasa Indonesia, because it's better to focus their resources on Bahasa Indonesia, because the market is the bigger can. So it's just business sense lah. So that is the risk for us juga. I mean, as long as the big boys say no, we're not going to touch Malaysia for now, unless a special case, we're not going to offer it publicly. So we are fine. That means we can say that we're the only one that offers commercial NLP to anybody, be it small companies or enterprise. And that's how we got the GRC client, because while they can use API services from the big four like Amazon, Google, Microsoft, but now talking about the size, a sheer amount of data that we process, it doesn't make business sense, because it's going to be very expensive to use them. So they have to have kind of a more cost effective, and maybe if there's regulation that need to be satisfied. The only way is to have a custom model that they can somehow negotiate with for their business requirements. For banking especially, the model cannot be on cloud. It has to be on premises, right? So that is also a regulation hurdle to use the big boys.
Right, okay. I'm here with Khalil Noor from Masurika. We'll talk a little bit about how you were with Pitchin. And I just want to go a little bit more into SMEs in just a moment. Stay tuned over to Business BFM 89.9.
Become fabulous millionaires. BFM 89.9.
Good morning, this is Rita Liu. You're listening to Open for Business. I'm here with Khalil Noor from Mesolatica. And what they do is they train narrow AIs to understand Bahasa Melayu. And you know, we were talking about how you haven't launched this product of the SME customer experience yet, right? But so take me through, if I was a SME owner, I don't know whatever industry, but give me an example of how I would use this when you have this product available.
Okay. So the most basic feature would be that, okay, once you sign up with us, you go through the packages and you take the minimum package, right? So you onboard yourself, you connect your social accounts, Twitter, Facebook, and then we start to pull your data into our engine and do this process. Then you will be presented with a dashboard. So right. This dashboard will just give you the basic metrics. For example, the happiness index, how many posts for the day, how many, and then a chart saying how many percent is negative and how many percent is positive. So from there, you have the option to see over time. That means over a 7-day period, a 30-day period, or for a year, for example. So these are the things that we show in a graph. And to make sense or to make this better business decision, you are able to drill down to the exact pinpoint where the AI says, oh, the negative sentiments is for this particular post or this particular set of words. So go deal with it. So that is where the business comes in to say, okay, how do I respond to this sentiment, right? So it's either how business will react is either they reply singularly or they reply blanket. So that, yeah, you don't waste time. Yeah?
So that's fine. Okay. Right, so the client then has to decide.
Yes, it could be automatic. So it has to be, we only provide the analytics, right? We cannot go, if you want to, we can go towards the end, like automate the responses, like how Cambridge Analytica did. But yeah, we just stop at analysis. So we leave the decision making to the business owners.
Right, so and then I guess it's also sometimes to a product, right, that people might not like.
Mm. Yeah.
Right. So then they're able to find out whether this product has market acceptance or not.
That if your product team wishes to use the sentiment, the index to compare against the products that you have, yeah, that's like you illustrate that, okay, we can. Okay, that one is just tagging to the sentiment to the product name or product description. Yeah, you can come up with that as well. We don't customize to that yet, but this is where the feedback from the customer, just like how you mentioned just now, it will be a thing that we can do. Yep.
Right. Okay. Now, okay, you managed to raise 50,000 with PitchIn a couple of years ago. What was this? Was it last year?
2019.
A few years. Yeah. Okay. What were the funds used for then?
I think predominantly, okay, because we were a fairly new team back then, so what we wanted to do is to replicate the product that our CTO, Hussein, did for the political party, yes? So we did a prototype for the socialism dashboard for politics. So it's like a custom dashboard for Twitter data to show, yeah, in Malaysia, what are the sentiments on particular agencies, particular political individuals. So that was most of the funds, I would say that 50% was for the front end development for the interface. As far as, and then the rest is for the team and for our infrastructure costs. I think back then we were using Amazon Cloud Services, AWS.
Right. So political parties can hire you.
Political parties, political individuals, think tanks, anybody in the ecosystem. For the past 2 years, we mostly talked to think tanks. Like they love how what we can do with our engine.
Right. So okay, now if you look at what you're trying to do, right, are you looking at more investors?
Oh, definitely. But we're not actively finding right now. We're not in campaigns right now. So we just got our GRC client. Yeah. So we are focusing on serving our clients for now. And moving on to our next, let's say, a new narrative for Mesolatica, going beyond NLP. So what I learned this year especially is what else does enterprises want from deep technology, deep tech, like AI and automation and anything under 4.0, industry 4.0. Okay? So I've stumbled across this framework called intelligent automation. So this is something that I'm currently heavily researching, reading on, and coming up with offerings for enterprises, big enterprises especially. So this is like, what's next for enterprises' digital transformation beyond the current trends?
Right. So, and of course, you are. This is what you discovered. Has there been any uptake from clients that are interested in this?
Yeah. So, for NLP or for the intelligent automation?
I think for NLP. Intelligent automation.
Okay. So, intelligent automation is fairly new concept. Even the book that was I'm reading right now is just published this year. So, right. However, I would say it's just a renaming of how things are done on deep tech market. That means it's actually how you use the deep technology, especially NLP, vision AI, RPA, robotic process automation, and converge those technology to help automate business processes. So essentially, that's what they do. And the focus is only three things: improve efficiency, reduce costs, and increase productivity for your workforce. So that's the key benefits of intelligent automation.
Okay, so with the pandemic, right, with you guys, everybody online, has it affected your business in any way?
Surprisingly, no. It's the opposite. Because while going into the pandemic, all our previous leads, partnership and the talks that we did, everything was halted, right?
Right, right.
And everything's like, okay, finding and putting and whatnot. But this past last two quarters is where we spend the time to go through the process of onboarding into this GLC client, because we have to go through the procurement process and whatnot. So most of majority of our time, I would say, it was spent on securing this contract. It was a big contract. So positive in a sense, very positive.
Okay. Oh, very good. Very good. Okay. So moving forward, what is your focus now for the next, 1-2 years?
Okay. Since we have this contract in hand, we are serving, our focus is to serve this, and more or less we have like 2 years of stability in terms of cash flow. So we have the peace of mind to really sit down and think through, okay, what's our next step? It's always been my question, okay, what else can I do beyond NLP? Of course, we have to stick to our core expertise, which is NLP, because that is our competitive advantage. We cannot just simply do another business. Okay? So what else is related is, okay, how do we go up the value chain? So this is what I mentioned, the intelligent automation. That means to enterprises, instead of going through for a specific reason, we go in at a higher level to say, okay, what's your current digital transformation strategy? Have you thought about automation seriously? So what is the gap? So we come in sort of like a consultant to see at the big picture first, see what the internal team has done. Is there an innovation team in place to help with adapting to this new technology? Of course, I will be biased to, okay, let's use our NLP engine for your work. But okay, what else? What else can be done for these businesses? Because that is a much more, and together with our regional consulting partner, we have a lot to learn. But with them, we have the experience with them to solve specific technology problems for enterprises. So this specific problem or use cases we've done one time with our partner. They brought us in to help with a local bank to process their call centers recording to do voice analysis. So the challenge was, of course, it's bank, right? So customer service is all like champo, but now you have the English address, so we put that to, okay, here's the recording of the audio. Okay, can you use your engine to do speech to text? That means transcribe, auto transcribe from audio to text for Bahasa Melayu, kan? And then from there, what we do is we can impose the sentiment analysis, the customer happiness index just now, right? To say, okay, based on this set of phone calls, this time frame of phone calls, everybody's hangry because your online banking is down.
Right. Okay. All right. So this is exciting. So what's next? We'll be on the lookout. I'm talking to Khalil Noor from Mesolitica. You've been listening to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.